Praise Jesus. Well, Father, we thank you for this word. We receive it with thanksgiving. We ask you to bless it. Give us eyes to see and ears to hear what your Spirit would say to us. We'll give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, we're continuing this message entitled The Eighth Day. Hallelujah. Somebody say the eighth day. This is a marvelous time to be alive on planet Earth. My brother-in-law, Scott, Shelley's brother, showed up to the house yesterday driving a Ford Raptor. Oh my goodness, you do not plug that thing in. You hear it coming. Wow. I mean, the boys went out to, I didn't know he even had it, and it, out in front of Shelley's parents' house, and I hear this, woo! I'm like, what in the world is that? So there it was. And it made me think, get ready for the Raptor. The Raptor's coming. I wonder if Jesus would come back driving a Raptor. Are we Raptor ready? How would Ford feel about Jesus showing up in a Raptor? I think maybe some people would be divided about that. Do we want to be associated? Do we want our product to be associated with him? Somebody say, yes, you do want to be associated with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. Somebody say, I'm Raptor ready. Of course, that's a play on words. We're talking about the rapture. Jesus is coming back. Hallelujah. And that truck roars like a lion. And Jesus is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. But look at Revelation 21. Revelation, if I know you're aware of this, is in the back of the book. Very last book. 21, I'm going to read verses 1 through 8 as we review this foundation text for this message entitled On the Eighth Day. John is talking. Rick Renner taught me that the Apostle John was like in his 90s. Now, if I'd have known that when I first started reading Revelation, that might have affected my faith in it. Right? So here's a 90-something-year-old man talking about giant locusts and, you know, all this. It's like, really? Somebody say, yes. Yes, the Apostle John. They tried to execute him. They could not. Remember, they tried to boil him in oil. He wouldn't die. He's the apostle of love. And so they just did what they could do. They excommunicated him out to this island. And he had a visitation, a prophetic visitation from the Lord, the book of Revelation. And in summary, it's this. The rapture is coming. Somebody say, I'm rapture ready. Well, how do I get rapture ready? Everybody just say, Jesus, I'm yours. I give you my life. You're rapture ready. Rapture. You know what I'm saying, right? But the book is amazing. And a lot of people refuse to read the book of Revelation because they don't think they understand it. Well, it just says, blessed are they who read this. So just read it. Amen? And the Holy Ghost will show you things. And how many know this is a big book? There are things in here I don't understand all of it. But I know this. It's a love letter from my Father to me. There was a sin problem, and sin really complicates things. Sin really messes things up. There was sin, and then there was a Savior, and then there was salvation. And I have to choose. This book is all about human beings who chose one way or another. But it's not Baskin-Robbins. There's not 31 ways. There's not 31 genders. Somebody say, go to the book and focus on what you do understand and ask the Holy Ghost to show you what you need to see. But read it anyway, even if you don't understand why you have to go through 10 layers of begats. And all this, just hear him, just listen to him, read it, study it. There's a lot of folks who refuse to come on board fully with Jesus because they don't fully understand the word, they say, you know what, I just don't want to deal with that. I think that's just some guy writing crazy stuff. And really what it means is they love their sin. And they don't, sin complicates things, but this is really a very simple, somebody say simple message. I sinned. I need a savior. I need to be saved. I can't do it myself. I cannot, somebody say, I cannot do this myself. I need a savior. So we get to know him through his word, study his word, come to church, pray, receive the Holy Spirit. How many know we need the Holy Spirit to teach us? The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. They all have their unique position in our lives. Holy Ghost, Spirit of wisdom, Spirit of the Word. He's the counselor. How many of you ever need counsel from God? And we can ask each other. We can talk to a lawyer or a doctor or a friend or whatever. But a lot of times we just bring it to him. And you know, the best counsel I've ever gotten from Jesus is two words. For things I don't understand that I'm going through or whatever. You know what those two words are? Trust me. Billy Joel has a song, it's a matter of trust. Some love is a lie of the heart. But you know about us, it's always been a matter of trust. It is with Jesus. It's a matter of trust. Somebody say, I trust him. Just tell him right now to say, Father, I trust you with my entire being. Now that's glorious, right? Now that doesn't mean we check our brain in at the door and just take everything anybody says. Well, it must be God. The guy has a prophet card. He told me I'm going to die tomorrow, so I guess I better die tomorrow. No. You better, somebody say, know the word. Know the word. Well, the foundation text for this message is Revelation 21, especially verse 5, but I'm going to read the first 8 verses. It says, this is John again, right? He says, now that John is an accredited, he served with Jesus, right? Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth. Somebody say new. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also, there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. Somebody say hallelujah. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death. Somebody say, no more death, right? Nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Then he who sat on the throne said, this is our key verse, behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said to me, it is done. Somebody say, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Somebody say amen. Right? So people are motivated, you know, either by one of two things I've heard, pleasure or pain, right? Amen? So there's a heaven to gain, and there's a hell to avoid. Hallelujah. And Jesus is the door. There's no other door. Hallelujah. Well, I don't like him. He's too polarizing. That's right. Up or down, which way is it? You don't float around. No. Somebody say up. I choose Jesus, right? But verse 3 talks about the tabernacle of God is with men. And tabernacle means a tent made of green boughs or skins or other materials. This is the time of year, one of the times of year, that there are biblical holidays celebrated. And the church needs to know these things, right? In the spring, there's Passover, there's first fruits, and there's Pentecost. Jesus has fulfilled those feasts. He's the Passover lamb. The blood of Jesus cleanses us of our sins, right? First fruits, he's the first fruits from the dead. He rose again. And Pentecost, harvest, the Holy Ghost was sent to fill us up. Amen? And now we've been in this thing I like Rick Renner teaches so great, and it's called the church age. But then it brings us to the fall feast. The fall feast, you know, the spring feast remind us that he came. Somebody say he came. The fall feast remind us, and that's a big word, is reminder. Somebody say remember. This is a reminder. These things are reminders to us. The fall feast remind me he's coming back. And the fall feasts have yet to be fulfilled. Amen. And the first one coming up, we just celebrated it this past week, I believe. Recently, in the past several days, was Rosh Hashanah, Feast of Trumpets. Feast of Trumpets. I was watching football last Thursday night, I believe it was. No, Monday night. It was a Monday night. So it was Monday last week. And I think the guy's name is Chris Berman. He's an old ESPN guy, but he does ABC Monday Night Football. And he was. It was the first day of fall, and he got on there. He does his, like, 3 minutes review of the whole week of football. And I appreciated him because, you know, a lot of people hate on Israel. How many know the church ought not be hating on Israel? No. And we ought not be voting for people who hate on Israel, supporting people who hate on Israel? No. So somebody say, support God's land and God's people. Amen. Well, Chris Berman got up there and he said, "Hi, everybody, here to give you the highlights from the past weekend. Happy fall," and he looked at the camera and he goes, "or Happy New Year." And he just kept going. And it was like he just basically said on national television, "Happy Rosh Hashanah," which is, in, you know, they talk about it as being the Jewish New Year. It's the Happy New Year. These things are remarkable. But Feast of Trumpets reminds us, the rapture's coming. Can you hear him coming? We can see the signs in the world, but the trumpet is going to sound, Feast of Trumpets. And I was listening even to myself. We have a radio broadcast that was on in 2020, and they're all still online. And I've just been picking them like once a week. Kind of, it parallels where we're at in the calendar. And this past one was about that. And I was hearing things that I said that I forgot that I said. And one of the words for Rosh Hashanah is it's the time of return. How many know he is going to return for his people? Now the next feast, the Feast of Tabernacles, is the Day of Atonement. It's like the highest, holiest day, and Jews will fast 24 hours and get serious about repenting, confessing any. It's a judgment. It's the day that the priests went in and sacrificed, and the holiest of holies. It's a serious, somber day. It's also the day they teach that Moses came back down. How many remember Moses? He's the only one who broke all the Ten Commandments at the same time. Remember that? When he smashed them? And he had to go back up the mountain and come back? The Day of Atonement correlates with the day Moses came back down. Second coming. Somebody say, second coming, right? So this differentiates rapture and second coming. It's all in the feasts. It's very clear. The rapture is not the same thing as the second coming. The rapture, only we see him, meet him in the sky. Second coming, the whole world sees him, and all of us coming back with him, because crazy, psycho, devilish people are trying to kill Israel at the end of the tribulation period, and we come back with Jesus on horses. I'll be hopefully sitting next to John Wayne. I want to be right there. Let's go, Jesus riders! And we come in, Jesus with one word, it says, and the battle is over, right? Day of Atonement. And his kingdom on this earth begins that day. Somebody say that day. Amen. And all these things represent time. Somebody say time. This is God's calendar being played out. Even the Sabbath day. A day to God is as 1,000 years. Every week is a reminder. How many days are in a week? Somebody say 7. The 1,000-year reign of Christ is the 7th day. And we are very near in the Jewish calendar to the completion of the 6th day, which means we're about to enter in, literally, at the door of the 7th day. Isn't this remarkable? Every week is a reminder. Hallelujah. But at the end of that 7th day, the devil has been incarcerated for 1,000 years. Read it, it's in the book, right? Not making this up. I could be home watching football if I want to make stuff up. I'm here telling you what the word says, right? Hallelujah. By the way, that was a good game yesterday. The Ducks. Woo! Man, that was a great game. Anyway, back to preaching. We got to preach because the rapture's coming, right? Amen. At the end of the 7th day, Satan is released from his incarceration again. We've been ruling and reigning with Christ for 1,000 years on this planet, which to God is another day. God is so patient. But it's all right there. It's all literally right there. To God, the whole thing from Adam to the 8th day is about a week. We got to be more mindful of how he thinks, how his perception of things. Why? Because he's our dad, right? So at the end of that 7th day, the devil stirs up some more people, believe it or not, that we're ruling and reigning over, and they decide to come try one more time to take us out. Now, this is something the Lord showed me just recently. There's a differentiation between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen? The blood of Jesus is what makes it possible for me to be saved. The Holy Ghost is my counselor, right? He's the one that sticks with me, that I can talk to. And we're praying to the Father, but we come to the Father through the Son by the Holy Ghost. I've used a cell phone as sort of a rough illustration of that, right? The phone itself is the body. That's Jesus. I'm talking to my Father, and T-Mobile is the Holy Ghost. Amen. Glory to God. But the devil stirs up his camp to come again, and just they think, oh, we can do it. I mean, the devil is so stupid. How many know it's really stupid to follow the devil? He's just a fallen angel, and he's just the epitome of the fool, the foolish, the cowardly, the deadly, the snake, the serpent, right? And he's a fallen foe. Well, at that point, talking about differentiating, how many know there's some things only the Father can do? We've been watching Lord of the Rings, the boys and I. They've never seen it. So I'm like, let's start with the first one. And there's this guy named Frodo. And Frodo is the only one who's qualified to take the ring to the mountains of Mordor and throw it into the volcano, which will destroy all evil. Right? God the Father is the only one who can just say this, that's it. Oh, you don't want to hear those words, church. I shudder at the idea of hearing the Father step in and say, that's it. Welcome to the 8th day. And when I was studying this out, because I'd taught on these things before, but I never saw the 8th day so clearly. So why are we talking about it? Because somebody say, forever is coming. And the Father is the only one who can step in and say, evil, You're done. The blood of, listen to this now, the blood of Jesus Christ has run its complete 7 years, complete course. Everyone who's entered in by the blood, it's like Noah's Ark. You're in. How many people were on Noah's Ark? Eight. Somebody say, all these things are a reminder. Glory to God. What are they reminding us of? To be ready for forever and be looking for God to be doing some forever things in you and through you. Some new things to bring us closer to Himself, right? But do you see this? And that's the Feast of Tabernacles that we're talking about. When Jews will go out into nature, so if they're in the city, they'll go up on the roof of the building and they'll build like a tent made of boughs and fruit trees, you know, limbs. And it's hard. It's the fruit harvest. It's called the final, somebody say final harvest. And they're commanded to in the days of Moses. And they'll build these tents, Feast of Booths. And they'll live outside and they leave cracks. And we couldn't do this probably in Oregon because it tends to rain, right? But they leave holes and gaps in the roof so they look up and they can see the stars at night because they're expecting heavenly guests. They're taught to do this, right? Well, the beautiful thing is the Father Himself, we just read this, is bringing His booth. Oh man, what a booth. I mean, you should look up some of the pictures. Google it. Feast of Booths. Some of the pictures and the way they're just exquisite, beautiful. It's a time for families to gather and fellowship. And they're expecting guests from heaven. Well, many of the Jews who haven't received, we got to pray for Jews and people to know Jesus. There's Messianic Jews that know Jesus as their Messiah, but they don't. Some of them don't realize that the Father Himself is the guest that's coming. And He's bringing that city down out of heaven to land right in Jerusalem. After that final judgment and all of evil has been cut off and the fire of God has baptized this planet and purified it, somebody say, new heavens and a new earth have arrived. Welcome to the eighth day. These are things to be aware of as the body of Christ. Well, Leviticus 23:36 talks about this. And I like the word, you know, atonement, back to the Day of Atonement. I like it that it contains the phrase at-one-ment. Now, the blood of Jesus wipes sin away. Atonement also means to cover. But I praise God, we have a better covenant with the blood of Jesus, right? But I love God, my Father, wants to be one with me. No distance. Isn't that glorious? He's not like the Wizard of Oz. I am the all-powerful. How dare you interrupt me? No. He's a loving Heavenly Father. He loved me so much that He sent Jesus to die in my place so that our relationship could be fully restored and better than it's ever been. And even at times when I miss it somewhere, that's not time to go hide like Adam and Eve. That's time to run, somebody say, return. It's a reminder, these feasts are reminders to be in the habit of returning to God. Because how many know our minds, our flesh, our souls are prone to wander off? I had a visitation in a dream the other day. I believe this is of God. My dog just passed away. We put him to sleep. Sam, good boy. Well, I had a dream the other night. I was in the garage digging around, doing some stuff, and all of a sudden, Sam was there with me. And he just wanted to be with me. Sam! And I knew he wasn't supposed to be there. And his kennel was still there, a big fenced area, so I said, Sam, come on, come on. He didn't want it like normal. I knew that was him because he's acting the same way. Go in there and lay down. He went in there, laid down, and I latched it, and I went about my business. All of a sudden, he's right there again with me. And I looked over, and the gate was still latched. And I thought, yep, just as I suspected, he's a ghost. Sam's ghost is here, and he just wants to hang with me for a minute. So I went and I opened the garage door to the house. I said, kids, do you see Sam, or is it just me? Sam, Sam. I was like, well, be careful, because he's a ghost. I don't know where he's going to go. He just do whatever. He still was obeying, but reluctantly, you know? But he was Sam, but yet he was transformed Sam. Like, he wasn't confined to, remember when Jesus came out? He could go right through doors. Sam was the same way. How many know better things are coming? Right? These things are reminders that better stuff is ahead. You know how a lot of people out there treat their dog with more respect than children? They treat their dog with more respect than God? Isn't it interesting to know that my dog will be in heaven before they will? God is welcoming my dog before some people that just reject him. Now that's something to ponder. Somebody say it's time to return. Return with all our hearts and all our minds. Hallelujah. Oh. And then I woke up laughing. My alarm went off and I was like, oh, that was fun. Good boy, Sam. Leviticus 23:6. For 7 days you shall offer an offering made by fire. And this is again about the Feast of Tabernacles. For 7 days you shall offer an offering made by fire to the Lord. Seven means completion, right? On the eighth day you shall have a holy convocation. Offer an offering made by fire to the Lord. It's a sacred assembly. You shall do no more customary work on it. How many know things are changing? Have you noticed even in your daily life, as the months and years go by, things are changing. People are changing. I remember watching, we've had, you know, home movies. It's cool because back in the day, I used to have to carry a camcorder around. Now everybody has phones. So Steve doesn't have to carry a camcorder. In fact, I look really silly if I get the camcorder out. But I've got videos from, you know, our family journey started in 2000. I think I got the camcorder for Christmas that year, just before Shelly and I got married. And you can literally walk through it and see people change. Children, babies, toddlers, young adults now. I don't have to. And now even they can pull videos up on their phones from years ago. Wow, look how we've changed. How many know there is a change coming? There is a change coming to this planet. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So we need to be in the habit of sticking with Jesus every single day, right? The number 8 represents a new beginning, a new order or creation, man's true born-again event when he is resurrected from the dead into eternal life. Glory to God. And if you just look at the number 8, it doesn't end. It just keeps going and going. Somebody say, forever. That's the end game. Somebody say, the end game is forever. Really, it's the beginning game. Rabbi Joseph Shulam is a great messianic rabbi. You can just search Joseph Shulam and watch a little YouTube videos. We support Nativia. May the Lord comfort them right now, by the way. His wife passed, went to be with Jesus last month ago, I think. But he said in the Rosh Hashanah post that he shared, he said, you know, this. He compared this life is boot camp for the next life. I love that. Glory to God. Somebody say, put the work in. What is the work? Believing, staying in faith, keeping our flesh down, keeping our spirit plugged in. Because that, the story back to the dog, right? My soul, my mind is prone to wander off. Right? So my spirit man needs to be in charge of my soul and my body every day. Pastor George Pearson's just got back from Israel, and he was filming, showing clips from their Israel trip. And he showed, I thought this was interesting, because they were driving along borders. The Egyptian border, just miles and miles and miles and miles of fence. The Jordanian border, a little bridge and a hut. Nothing. And he's filming it, and he's like, now there's somebody in that hut watching us. So we're not going over there. But the borders were different. And as he was coming home on an airplane, he sat next to somebody who they believe was a supernatural encounter on the airplane. And this man starts talking with him because he sees him on his laptop or making notes. And he's like, are you a pastor? He's like, yes, I am. He's like, I'm just preparing my message for Sunday. And they start talking. And this man begins to open up to him. And he says, you know what you need to focus on? Is talking about guarding the borders of your own mind. Wow. My soul and my mind and my flesh are prone to wander off into worry, into fear, into strife, offenses, lust, whatever it is. And so my spirit man needs to be the one to say, hey, down! Get back in that kennel. Get back in that grave, right? That's another thing Rabbi Shulam was talking about, was how a lot of Christians, when they get baptized, they're really just getting wet. He's like, you got to understand what baptism is. It means you died and you rose again, fully committed to living for the Lord Jesus Christ. It means something died, and it needs to stay dead. The old Steve, what Steve wants, Steve's desire, and it's need to be sanctified by the Holy Ghost, but there's some things that Steve is or was that need to stay in the ground, guarding the borders of our mind. In Revelation 21:8, talks about this, says, this drew me to this particular message today. But the fearful and unbelieving, it talks about. The abominable, murderers, whoremongers, sorcerers, idolaters, all liars shall have their part in the lake that burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. So there's a second death. Jesus warned of that. He said, you all ought to be more concerned about avoiding the second death, which is spiritual death. Forever. I'm not spending day 8 in hell or following anyone else there. And here's some little checkpoints right here. Listen to the word fearful. Fearful means faithless. Unbelieving means disbelieving, without Christian faith. Oh, you're so narrow-minded. Yes, like Heath Moore says, yes, we're narrow-minded and saved. Abominable means to stink. It made me think all of these things. Well, I'll come back to that one in a minute. Murderer means homicide, obviously. Whoremongers, sexual sin. Actually refers to male prostitutes, specifically. But it would include any type of sexual sins, right? Sorcerers. Sorcerers had to do with drugs. Now, obviously, witchcraft and magic arts and that kind of is included in this. But, you know, side effects may include. You might want to commit suicide if you take this, but your heart won't hurt anymore, or your leg won't hurt. But, you know, you might want to drive yourself off. That's demonic. Somebody say, be realistic, listen to very attentively what the Spirit of God is saying, and obviously drugs, illicit drugs, marijuana, cocaine, all those narcotics are bad. But even a lot of the pharmaceutical things that they promote for the love of money is dangerous. Amen? Idolaters means an image worshiper, putting other gods before God. Liars, people that are untrue and deceitful. But, pardon me. But the word abominable, I think, sums it all up. It says to stink, right? So really what we're talking about here, because everybody is human, everybody's made mistakes, everybody's got sins, and I think the world struggles with that. I can't come to Jesus because I've been abominable, okay? I don't qualify, all right? I've had people tell me, if I come to church, it'll burn down. Because the devil has so built up their sin consciousness in areas where they've fallen short and done things or have done things done to them that they feel like they're not good enough. So why even try? That's a lie of the devil. And even if you're born again and a Christian and you've had some of this stuff manifest in your family or your life, we still need to, reminder, somebody say reminder, return to Jesus. Return to him. And that word abominable, to stink, makes me think of, I am who I hang out with. Right? Now, a shepherd should smell like the sheep. And I'm not saying you're stinky or sheep, you know, nothing like that. But what we're talking about here is clinging to things. Clinging to things that are on their way to hell. Am I clinging to the lust? Am I clinging to gossip? Am I clinging to unforgiveness? Am I clinging, you know, to idolatry in any way? Am I clinging to unbelief? Those things, church, I have news for you. Have you ever seen, sometimes I refer to the Roadrunner cartoons, the anvil? Which way is the anvil going? Down. So, good Christians, good sheep, for the good shepherd, we simply don't cling to the anvil. Why? Because the anvil stinks in the nostrils of God. And I help with in the pest control industry. You can tell if something's dead nearby. We'll get calls. And sometimes you have to say, well, ma'am, yes, I know. Yeah, I probably killed it, possibly. But that is inaccessible. It's in a wall. It's under insulation somewhere. It's going to run its course and get better. But the stench will be there for a little while. Open windows, have air fresheners, we'll look. How many know there's nothing that's inaccessible to the blood of Jesus? It flows and cleanses. But the key thing is for us Christians is do not be in the habit of clinging to sin stuff. And the only way to know what it is by getting in the Word, studying it out, and find out, and then carry it out. Take the trash out. To say, you know what, soul, mind, flesh, we are not identifying with that. We are not clinging to it. We resist it. We put it away from us. We confess it before God. We repent of it. And that's final. Glory to God. That's what the Feast of Tabernacles is about. Final. My final answer is no to that. And then tomorrow, I may have to get up and say no again. Why? Because it's a border that I'm watching over with the help of the Holy Ghost and the Word of God. I judge it as sin, and I will not cling to it. I will not make excuses about it. Yeah, Pastor Steve, but, you know, I just have this problem. No, you have a sin. I just have this weakness. No, you have a sin. Call it what it is and judge it. Glory to God. What are we doing? We're returning to God with all our hearts. And let the Holy Ghost show you. Amen? And when 8 days were completed, I want to conclude with this. We're talking about the number 8. And this, of course, applies to all this too. But Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. My son likes this book. I don't really know why, but... Oh, yeah, because he's Luke. Luke chapter 2, verses 21 through 38. This is the story, and I was looking for examples in the Bible of the number 8. Because it's significant. Luke chapter 2. This is the story of when Jesus was taken to the temple as a baby, right? Verses 21 to 28. And when, here he goes. This is Mary and Joseph and the little Jesus boy. Right? By the way, Rabbi Joseph reminded me that Jesus wasn't born on Christmas. He was actually born right around, maybe on, Rosh Hashanah, which is the giving of the word of God, which all the more would make sense. He did tell us, though, once in person when I saw him teach, that Christmas time is probably about the time when Gabriel visited Mary. Somebody say, Merry Christmas! Merry Christmas, right? But he said when they invited Jesus to speak as a kid in the temple and he was reading Isaiah 61, he said they'd only do that for give people, you know, to honor people. He said he's a kid reading this. And he said it might have been because it was his birthday. These are interesting things to ponder, right? But listen to this. And when 8 days were completed for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus. Somebody say 8 days. The name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Boy, we could camp right there. Is it a baby or a fetus? Somebody say, it's a human. Now when the 8 days, there he goes again, of her purification, 8 days for purification. Do you see the connection? Right? According to the law of Moses were completed, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of the Lord, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. Verse 26, and it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So these people are expecting the Messiah to come, right? How many of you are expecting him to come again? Hallelujah. Somebody say, stay in expectation, right? So he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him into his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation. Somebody say, my eyes have seen your salvation. Now, most of us probably could say you've never seen Jesus. Some people have. I haven't. I've had dreams where I know he was in the dream, but we see him with the eye of faith, the eyes of the Spirit. Amen? Which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. A few more verses. Joseph and his mother marveled at these things which were spoken of him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel. Somebody say polarizing. Jesus is very polarizing. That's what, in this business meeting I was talking about, that's why some of them jumped on me. You're being polarizing. Somebody say, Jesus is polarizing, up or down. For a sign which will be spoken against, yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Now there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, the tribe of Asher. She was of great age and lived with a husband 7 years. Somebody say seven. 7 years from her virginity. And this woman was a widow of about 84 years. Somebody say eighth decade. Just saying, right? That's interesting, right? Who did not depart from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And coming in that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord and spake of him to all who looked for the redemption in Jerusalem. Somebody say, the redemption is here. And he's coming back, right? But I did some study on the circumcision routine, right? And in Judaism, they teach that circumcision of the eighth day guarantees a baby will experience one Shabbat before the procedure is done. That, again, that completion number. So the baby needs to go through 7 days of life before this purification is completed. Do you see that? Interesting, isn't it? Right? And then medically speaking, on this day, somebody say the eighth day. On this day, blood clotting factors, vitamin K particularly, are at their highest levels, reducing the risk of bleeding. That's why they do it. That's why it's a health thing. Right now, there's also the mystery of God. God just said to do this. But in science, Caleb sent me a great video about how science confirms who God is. This is just another example of how science does not conflict or counter what God is saying. On the eighth day, the vitamin K levels are at their highest level. It's the right time to do this procedure. Somebody say, the blood is the strongest, it is complete. How many know there's coming a day where the blood of Jesus will be fully complete? Never again to have to be done. And whoever is in, and whoever is out. And God steps in and says, that's it. All evil, not to be crude, is cut off. Hallelujah. Isn't that remarkable? And in we'll close with Romans chapter 2. Because some people take, things that are in the Bible and just try to make it all legalistic and all this kind of stuff. But I love the Apostle Paul. Somebody, I can't remember who I was listening to, but it might have been Rick Renner or somebody. But basically they said that Apostle Paul is the Moses to the Gentiles, the Moses to the church, right? Romans chapter 2, we'll close with this, verses 19 through 29. Oh, I'm in Revelation. Romans chapter 2. Are you getting anything out of this? Hallelujah. Me too, right? Verses 19 through 29. Not sure why I said 19. I'm going to back up to 17. Indeed, you are called a Jew and rest on the law and make your boast in God and know his will and approve the things that are excellent being instructed out of the law and are confident that you yourself are a guide to the blind, a light to those who are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, having the form of knowledge and truth in the law. You therefore who teach another... Do you not teach yourself? You who preach that a man should not steal, do you steal? You who say do not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? You who abhor idols, do you rob temples? You who make your boast in the law, do you dishonor God through your breaking of the law? For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you, as it is written. For circumcision, here we go, is indeed profitable if you keep the law, but if you are a breaker of the law, your circumcision has become uncircumcision. Therefore, verse 26, if an uncircumcised man keeps the righteous requirements of the law, will not his uncircumcision be counted as circumcision? And will not the physically uncircumcised, if he fulfills the law, judge you who, even with your written code and circumcision, are a transgressor of the law? This is the key part here. For he is not a Jew who is one outwardly, nor is circumcision that which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew who is inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, not in the letter, whose praise is not from men, but from God. Somebody say hallelujah. With Jesus, with the Father, it's about the heart condition. Not about doing everything right, never making a mistake, going through all these ritualistic do's and don'ts. No, it's about where's my heart? Do I love him more than that thing my soul seems to want? Do I love him more than anything the devil would offer me. Do I love him more? And that, family of God, is the boundary around our hearts that needs to be guarded at all times. It's a circumcision of the heart. So we cut it off now. We're not waiting for the eighth day. And now that will be better and be powerful, but amen. But we, in the name of Jesus right now, why don't we all just stand up on our feet as a declaration that we are cutting it off. We cut off all forms of the curse. And we also stand, Father, right now on behalf of our families, those we're praying for. We, as we put our feet down on this ground right here, we declare that evil inclination is losing its power. It's losing its grip on our own lives. That blood of Jesus separates us. It cuts off the devil's plan for our life. And we stand right now, just like they did at Charlie Kirk's memorial service. We take a stand for God and against evil in any form. And for those we pray for, God, for our own families and loved ones, even those that we might know that used to be on fire for Jesus, and now it seems like they have forgotten their first love. We pray them back into the kingdom. That divine alignment, their heart, that their hearts would return to their first love, to the Lord Jesus Christ. Just pray this after me as we close. Just say, Heavenly Father, I give you my heart. Circumcise my heart, Father. Thank you for the blood of Jesus, that transfusion, that spiritual substance of the blood that separates my life from the world, from the curse, from sins, and over to God, to your family. I will walk with you every day, stay close to you, fellowship with you, be your son or your daughter. And I thank you for the wonderful sacrifice that Jesus made for me and for the glorious days ahead. But I choose today to say Jesus Christ is Lord of my life, my house, every part of my life. In Jesus' name, somebody say amen.